Friends, family, welcome to the 2011 commencement ceremony for Berean Christian School. Tonight, we're here to celebrate the accomplishments and the achievements of our graduates. It's a rite of passage, a marking of hurdles crossed and of barriers passed. Tonight, we welcome you to a celebration, not just of what has been done, but what still lies ahead as we welcome these young men into adulthood. Tonight is a momentous occasion because roughly 18 years ago, each of these families sat in a hospital room, much like I did earlier this week, and they witnessed the beginning of a new life. Since that time, there have been many extraordinary events that have taken place in their lives. They've taken their first step. They've spoken their first word. They've had their first day of school. They had the first girl chase them down the hall. Oh, no, that was when their sisters... But tonight, we're going to mark a first as well. It is a time for them to have their first step out into the real world. And it is a marking of having accomplished. There was a marker that was set out there. You have to do this. And they've checked off every one of those boxes. And they're ready now to go on from here. And we thank you for being here to be a part of that. We want to thank Mom and Dad. We know that as parents, you had to put a lot of hard work into this evening. Not just this evening, but into what this evening represents. We want to thank our graduates. They've put a lot of hard work and effort into being here as well. Sometimes it's been real difficult. They have seen some real hard times, and they've seen some real triumphs as well. We want to thank the staff. Our staff is here this evening. We know that you put long hours into the lives of these young men as well. And we thank you for that, for all that you represent there. We want to thank our school board. They put long hours and a lot of unseen work into this evening as well. We want to thank them for what they've done. We want to thank each and every one of you as well for being here. We know that you've seen these young men as they've grown up, that you've been a part of their lives, that you've meant something to them as well. And so we thank you and welcome you here this evening. And as we begin this evening, we do want our graduates to be able to come and tell you a little bit about what God has been doing in their lives, how He has brought them to this place, and what they see God leading them into as they leave Berean Christian School. So if you would please welcome Joey Coslow.
Welcome, teachers and staff, guest speaker, friends and family. It is no question that we all look forward to this day. It is a day that we get to say that we have finished and that we were successful. Throughout the years, we have learned many things, not just book smarts, but also many things about ourselves. Some things we're proud of, but others maybe not so much. Looking back, I'm proud of my high school years, but of course, I would change some things if I could. Knowing what I know now, if I were able to write a letter to myself entering high school, this is what I would say. You're entering a new school and what seems like a daunting new task. But don't be discouraged. The end isn't as far off as it seems. Remember to choose your friends wisely and keep them close. But don't let them distract you from what needs to be done. Don't procrastinate. This only makes the work tougher. Don't run from your troubles. This only makes them worse. Instead, face them head on. Don't be afraid of mistakes, because they will come. But through hard work, you will be able to conquer them. One last thing. Don't be too serious. Go out there and have some fun. If I knew all this stuff before I started high school, I would have been far better off. But I had to learn most of it the hard way. Luckily, I had many people in my life to guide me and direct me. I would like to thank all the teachers and staff for all the time and dedication they gave to ensure that I would succeed. I would like to thank my mom and dad for paying the tuition every year to ensure that I had a good Christian education. To my two wonderful sisters for always being there whenever I needed help with my homework, I needed someone to talk to, or if I just needed someone to pick on. To Sam for being the best brother I could hope for. To all my friends for making these past 4 years so memorable. To the Bozeman family for being there if I ever needed anything or if I just needed to borrow a car. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So most importantly, I would like to thank God for helping me through all the good times and the bad and helping me to be able to stand here today. Thank you.
If you would, please welcome as well, Ray Miner.
I would like to start by thanking our guest speaker, the school board, and all of you for being here today. It is a very special time for us. We are starting a new chapter of our lives, but this wouldn't be possible without our teachers. My first teacher here at Berean was Mrs. Steef. She taught me how to read and helped me with my work when I needed it. I am also grateful for Mrs. White, Mrs. Botiford, Mrs. LeBrier, Mrs. Anson, Mrs. Tolman, Mrs. Miller, and Mr. Root for keeping me in line during the 11 years I attended Berean. I would like to thank all the volunteers who have been at the school and helped out, especially Mrs. Hebert for listening to me say my verses for so many years. I would like to thank my family. Thank you, Mom and Dad, for kicking me into gear when I was lazy, making sure I always got done what I needed to. Thank you, Rachel, for being there for me and helping me when I needed it, and being an all-around good older sister. And thanks to my grandparents, aunts, uncles, and cousins. Even though you don't live close enough to me on a daily basis, I know you have prayed for me and want the best for me. Most importantly, I would like to thank God, because without Him, none of this would be possible. He has helped me to get my work done and give me strength to keep going when I didn't want to or I felt like giving up. There have been many fun times and very boring times, easy ones and hard ones. Some of the most fun times I've had have been at Berean. Most of my friends are from Berean. I've enjoyed the numerous field trips we've taken and the opportunity to go on the scripture trips by memorizing the monthly scriptures. I also enjoy being able to compete against other students from other schools and countries at regional and international student convention. I'm looking forward to my last convention next week in Virginia and our trip to Washington, D.C. Though I had fun and learned reading, writing, math, and history at Berean, I also learned a lot more. I learned how important memorizing scripture and having Christian fellowship are for spiritual growth. It is easier for me to memorize and recall scripture than it is for my parents and many other friends, and that is because BCS made it a priority. Thank you, Mrs. LeBrier, for teaching us scripture songs too. That will be a blessing to me in the years to come when I face other challenges. I also learned that cutting corners doesn't help you. It only hurts you. If I had known what I know now back when I was younger, it would have made things much easier. But I learned from these difficult experiences. Hopefully, I will remember that lesson for the rest of my life and make wiser decisions. For the future, I plan to go to college and have been accepted by 4 Christian colleges. However, I haven't decided which college to go to yet or what I am to major in. Please pray for me as I continue to make this decision. Thank you.
And welcome, Alex Enzweiler.
Good evening, honored speaker, members of the board, parents, teachers, fellow graduates, and friends. I'd like to welcome you to this year's graduation. I've attended Berean Christian School ever since I was in kindergarten, as did my three older siblings. Being in the same school for 13 years is not necessarily a bad thing. There have been some good times, and there have been some bad times. There have been some easy tasks to accomplish, and there have been some difficult tasks to accomplish. That I made it through it all is a complete miracle. People say they don't see miracles anymore. You're looking at one. But I can't take any credit for this. It is only by God's grace that I am graduating tonight. During my 13 years at Berean, I've witnessed many changes, from changing uniform style 3 times to shifting the whole school from this building to its own building. I can even remember the whole building being built. Does that make me old? No, it doesn't. I began my second grade school year in that building. I've had the privilege of meeting many new staff members and classmates over the years, and I've become close friends with many of them. Ever since I was in the 5th grade, I really wanted to be on the basketball team. When I was old enough to play, I started in the first game of the season, and I couldn't be more terrified. I didn't score any points, but I had an awesome time. I've had many good memories of playing on the basketball team, most of these involving being yelled at on the court, but hey, that's how you learn. I will also never forget the famous words of Doc Thomas, the most frightening words you will ever hear at practice. On the line. There are several people that I would like to thank tonight, but I can only name a few because if I were to name all of them, we'd be here all night. First and foremost, I would like to thank my Heavenly Father for everything that He has given to me, provided for me, and done for me. Next, I'd like to thank Mrs. Steef. She helped me with reading and writing, and she also shared the gospel with me. Which was the same day that I became saved. I would also like to thank Mrs. White. She was very gracious to me in my schoolwork and also taught me how to be thorough. The next person I would like to thank is Mrs. LeBrier. She was so helpful to me, especially when I did my Spanish verbals. Good times. Next is Mrs. Miller. Even though she was my teacher for a year, she was an encouragement to me. She was a big help to me and others when it came time for convention preparations. I'd also like to thank my principal slash supervisor slash basketball coach, Mr. Rue. I was always amazed that all the things that he had to do, he managed to get all of them done. Finally, I'd like to thank my parents. I know that I was not always the most pleasant person to deal with, but they never stopped loving me and helped me with everything that I had done my whole school year. My future plans are to attend a Christian or Bible college and major in law enforcement. The college that I will attend is still undecided, but I know God will show me where He wants me to go. From my 4 years of high school, I've learned that you can't take shortcuts. Don't slack off on your schoolwork because it will start to build up. Trust me, you don't want to be there. Once again, I'd like to thank you all for coming this evening. A wise man once said, "Let them eat cake." I respectfully disagree. Let us eat cake and sandwiches. Thank you.
Good evening. Tonight I have the great honor of introducing our guest speaker, Dr. Tommy Mitchell from Answers in Genesis. Dr. Mitchell graduated with highest honors from the University of Tennessee, Knoxville, with a major in cell biology and a minor in biochemistry. He also then received his medical degree from Vanderbilt University, School of Medicine in Nashville. He's a board certified in internal medicine and was elected a fellow of the American College of Physicians. Dr. Mitchell had a thriving medical practice in his hometown of Gallatin, Tennessee for 20 years, but in late 2006, he withdrew from the medical practice to pursue creation ministry full-time. Dr. Mitchell is currently a speaker with and writes for Answers in Genesis. He's been married to his wife, Elizabeth, a retired OB, for 25 years and has 3 daughters. As a scientist, physician, and father, Dr. Mitchell has a burden to provide solid answers from the Bible to equip people to stand in the face of the personal tragedy and popular evolutionary misinformation. Please join me in welcoming Dr. Tommy Mitchell.
Thank you very much. It is indeed a pleasure to be with you on this evening. Gentlemen, let me add my congratulations. It's a very special night. I do not remember my graduation night because it was millions of years ago. My graduation was easier because we didn't have as much information to learn back in those days. Now, as you look back on this evening and years to come, I want you to praise God for the following. As I prayed and tried to find the Lord's leading about what I should share tonight, there were specific things that I really felt the Lord was telling me not to do, as I will share with you now. First of all, I will not compare your life to an hourglass. I will not use the phrase footprints on the sands of time. And I will not tell you to leave this room and soar like an eagle. Therefore, 95% of all commencement speeches have just been done away with. What I'm going to challenge you with tonight is the following. And I want to ask you this question. And I want you to search yourselves deep inside for the answer. Are you intimidated? Are you intimidated by what the world throws at you? It's very easy to be. I mean, it's one thing to be in church. It's one thing to be in a wonderful Christian school and be in an environment where you're nurtured and where you're really brought up into the admonition of the Lord. And you're taught to understand this word. You're taught to be able to defend your faith. But now you're not going to be in that protected environment anymore. Even in Christian colleges, Christian schools, Christian universities, there are still challenges you're going to face. The question is, are you ready to defend your faith in the real world? Are you intimidated? What the world tells you very plainly is this. If you believe this book, you're not intellectual. You're not smart. You're not satisfactorily educated. Maybe indoctrinated is a better word. I successfully practiced medicine for 20 years. In November of 2006, I entered the ministry full time. In one day, I went from honored physician to moron. Why? Because I entered a ministry full time to preach and teach the authority of this word. I became an idiot in the eyes of the world. Why? I took a stand on this word. It's true from the very first verse. What the world says is, no, if you believe the Bible, that's myth, that's fable, that's fairy tale. You're somehow not intellectual. The question you have to ask yourself is the world right? Are they right when they say you're not satisfactorily educated? You're not an intellectual. You're not scientific. You're not credible if you start with the Bible. If you start with the Bible, are you biased? What's the answer to that question? Absolutely, I'm biased. This is God's word. It's true from the very first verse. Now, can that be defended? Absolutely. Is it scientific? Absolutely. Is it credible? Absolutely. That's not what you hear from the world. That's not what you hear from the intellectual community. They say you're not adequately based in scientific theory. You're not adequately based in logic if you start with the Bible. Well, let's ask this question to start with. Is the Bible a science textbook? The answer to that is simply no. You know what I say to that? Amen. What happens to science textbooks? They change. They get revised as we accumulate new knowledge, whether it's in medicine or engineering or other disciplines. We accumulate knowledge. Textbooks change. Has this book ever changed? No. This is the solid foundation. This needs to be the foundation of your thinking in every area. Morality? Absolutely. Theology? Certainly. Science? You bet. This is not a science textbook. But when the Bible speaks of issues of science or history, it can be relied on absolutely. But what the world says, what the world's going to tell you every day is, you can't believe the Bible. You can't start with the Bible. If you start with the Bible, you're biased. Guess what? I am biased. You should be biased. But you know, if you really are honest with yourself, we're all biased. Everybody has a bias. It's not a question of whether or not you're biased. The question is which bias is the best bias to be biased with. You're going to start with God's word or man's word? I start with God's revelation to man. It's the foundation of my thinking. Does that make me unscientific? Not at all. We've got answers. 1 Peter 3:15, to sanctify the Lord God in your heart. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. It's about being the best Christian you can be. It's about being the strongest witness for Jesus Christ that you can be. The reason I do the ministry that I do is to equip people to have answers, to show the world that we need not be ashamed, that we need not be intimidated by what the world throws at us. And guess what? When you take a stand here, you're not unscientific. I'm a classically trained scientist. The only thing I've ever been good at is science. I think my high school English teacher is probably still in some sort of therapy because he tried to dissect the sentence. Or I remember something about iambic pentameter, and I just did not do that well. I'm a classically trained scientist. I love science. But when I talk about science, I'm talking about the wonderful science that gives us our technology, all the wonderful advances in medicine, and the science that let us go to the moon, and all the computers, communication technology, and all the wonderful things that science does for us in the present. That's what I did for years. That's what all my colleagues at Answers in Genesis and all the other creation scientists that I work with over the years all do, real science in the real world. But the world says, no, if you believe the Bible, you can't be an adequate scientist. Actually, that's not true at all. Observational science, the real technology that advances the world, many, many, many strong Bible-believing Christians are involved in that actively every day. But there's another aspect of so-called science. We need to step back and really understand what we're dealing with. Observational science, the real science in the present, real science in the real world, guess what? It starts here. Without a creator God, without an orderly creator God to put in place, to put into motion all the laws of the universe and all the laws of matter and the things that we use in science every day, why should we expect our science to be stable? Why should we expect our observations to be stable? We can defend ourselves. We can take a stand as true scientific people. But if evolution's true, honestly, and we're just the result of chemicals bumping together, how can we really be sure of anything? How can you be sure that you're even here? How can you be sure you graduated? You really can't trust your own memory. There is no basis for understanding all the laws of the universe. There is no basis for logic and mathematics without there being a creator God. If God is not who he claims to be, if we're just the result of chemicals bumping together, if matter is all that matters, how do we really know anything? The basis of science is that God is who he claims to be. The basis of science is this book is what it claims to be. 1 Peter 3:15 says, be ready always to give an answer, to give a defense. Gentlemen, are you ready? Are you intimidated? It is so easy to be, to go out into the world and there's always some new finding or some new article or some new concept where the world says, no, we've shown the Bible's not true. We got here because matter just bumped together, chemicals just bumped together. And guess what? Some of those arguments sound very compelling. I deal with those things every day. It is very easy to be intimidated. But guess what? One plus God is a majority. You need not be intimidated. But does that mean you accept everything at face value? No. 1 Peter 3:15 says, be ready with an answer. You need to equip yourself to have those answers. You need to be like the children of Issachar, men who had understanding of the times. You need to understand the issues that the world's going to throw at you. You need to equip yourself to have those answers. It's a lifelong process. Do I have all the answers? Not by any means. Do I know as much about this word as I need to? Not even close. It's a daily battle. Be in God's Word. Be in God's Word. Be in God's Word. But at the same time, understand what the world throws at you. Understand what the world uses to cause people to question God's Word, to call into question the authority of God's Word. Because to be the very best witness you can be, you need to understand what the world's going to throw at you. You need to understand what the questions are. Present a defense for those questions. Take a stand for Jesus Christ. Equip yourself to defend your faith. Equip yourself to answer the hard questions. How do you know this book's really inspired? How do you know the right books are in the Bible? How do you know there really is a God? Those are questions the world's going to throw at you. And they're going to expect you not to have answers. But when you do have answers, when you can take a strong stand, when you can take a bold stand, you're going to have their ear. That's going to give you the first step, the first opportunity to perhaps tell them about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's all about witnessing, but it's about understanding what the world's going to throw at you. The world says there is no God, matters all that matters. Or there is a God who is who he claims to be. At the end of the day, there are only two starting points. There are only two really religions, if you think about it. There's God's Word, there's man's Word. And the people who start out with man's Word say, if you take God's Word as your foundation, you're biased. Guess what? They're biased too. They say there is no God that cares. Matter is all that matters. Everyone has a bias. Gentlemen, the challenge you have, starting tonight, as you take wings as eagles, I couldn't resist, I'm sorry. I've heard too many graduation speeches. As you take the next step, as you proceed forward with your lives, as you go out into the world, you need to understand there are going to be challenges. There are going to be difficult questions. There are going to be difficult issues. Again, some very compelling, some not as compelling. But as you look in the mirror, as you search your heart, the question you need to ask yourself is, am I intimidated? Are there issues where I feel inadequate? Are there things that I really don't feel comfortable dealing with? Focus your hearts and minds on God's Word. Understand the issues of the age. Equip yourself to have those answers. Be that 1 Peter 3:15 Christian, I'm sorry. Be that kind of Christian. Take a bold stand for Jesus Christ. Because the world says Christians don't have answers. We do have answers. Is it really important? Absolutely. The Bible is the foundation of everything we believe as Christians. Every major doctrine in Christianity, directly or indirectly, finds its way back to the book of Genesis, to the foundation. What's the most mocked book of the Bible? The book of Genesis. It's myth, it's fable, it's fairy tale. No, it's the true history of the world. What's marriage? You find that answer in Genesis. Why do we wear clothes? You find that answer in Genesis. What about the effect of curse? Why are we sinners? You find those answers in Genesis. You need to equip yourself to understand the foundations of our faith, understand the questions, and have the answers to those questions. Be discerning. You need not be intimidated. And gentlemen, again, I'll have my congratulations to you.
Thank you, Dr. Mitchell. We appreciate that very much. At this time, we are going to make the presentation of diplomas. Joining Dr. Mitchell up here on stage will be the director of Berean Christian School, Pastor White, as well as the chairman of the school board, Mr. Christopher White. And they will be presenting diplomas with Dr. Mitchell this evening. The first diploma, completing the course that is required for a college preparatory diploma from Berean Christian School, Alex Joseph Ensweiler. Also completing the course of requirements for a college preparatory diploma from Berean Christian School, Josiah William Coslow. Completing the course of requirements for a college preparatory diploma from Berean Christian School, Raymond Drake Minor. Before I present the class to you, I do want to just say a couple of words, because this is a special class for us. Alex mentioned that he has been in Berean Christian School since he was in kindergarten. I believe Ray mentioned as well he's been here for 11 years, which is as long as I've been here as well. And so it's been my pleasure to be able to watch these young men go from little guys all the way up. Joey, we added him in right at the freshman year, and so we've been able to see him grow up as well and complete his requirements. And so I appreciate you guys very much. It has been my pleasure to be able to see you grow up, and it's my pleasure as well to be able to say that you completed all of the requirements that you guys have done a great job, and they have. These guys have been done for months now. They worked hard. I mean, they've talked about don't put things off, but they didn't really put things off. They did their work, and they accomplished, and they didn't procrastinate. And so I appreciate that very much. Thank you, guys. And if you would, please stand so that I can present to you the graduating class of Berean Christian School 2011.
Okay, fellas, you've had enough. Sit down. There we go. God bless you guys. That was great. And we do appreciate the hard work you did put in. You have been done a long time, and we appreciate all the diligence you showed. You're fantastic. Alex, I wish you were staying one more year, because I get the privilege tonight to announce that next year, Berean Christian School is changing our uniforms to kilts. It's going to be exciting. And then Gora sweaters. It's going to be a fun time. Want to come back? No. Okay. No. I appreciate Mr. Root, school board, and all you Christian staff. You've just been appreciated very, very much. You've heard them tonight share with you how much they appreciate you. And I know that those of you who are their fellow students, they've appreciated the encouragement you've given them. And Mom, Dad, I know that they're grateful for you tonight. They, as you well know, they're commencing. They're moving on to something else. And we just appreciate the opportunity to let us be witnesses with you tonight at this event. Let's stand together and be dismissed, shall we? We pronounce a benediction tonight. A benediction means a good word. Tonight we're going to pronounce a blessing for these fellows. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, indeed, we are so grateful tonight to be here. We are in your presence, and we know that. We've needed you here tonight. We thank you so much for the way you have worked with us these past years. I thank you for these fellows and the work that you have given them to do and the work they've completed it in. Thank you, Father, for the way you've loved them and cared for them. Thank you for their families. Thank you that the families loved you and you loved them enough that these young men grew up with the knowledge of Jesus Christ all around them. And thank you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you convicted them one day and they received that knowledge for themselves. And to this we give you praise and glory and honor. Father, I thank you so much for Alex. And I ask in the name of Jesus Christ that you would minister great grace to him. That you would give him the boldness of the Spirit of God. That he would not be intimidated. That being a great warrior for the Word of God and a great warrior for the Lord Jesus Christ would never abandon prayer, will always be present with the Word of God, and always ready with an answer. And to that end, I want to thank you. Make of him a mighty man of God, Father. To that end, again, we praise you for what you're going to do. Father, we thank you for Joey and all that you have done through him. Thank you that you loved him before the foundation of the world and you intended for him to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Thank you for introducing him to that Savior. And thank you, Father, that by the power of the Spirit of God, Joey goes on to be a man of God. I pray that you bring to his mind the Word of God. That you cause him to be a man, Father, who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, doesn't stand in the way of sinners, doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. And I want to thank you for what you're going to do. Let him be one who meditates daily on the Word of God. Let it always be before him, Father, that he will never abandon the principles of the Word of God, not for any intimidating speech. Keep him bold, keep him fierce. Make him a good, strong warrior for the living God. And I thank you for what you'll do. Father, we want to thank you for Ray, and thank you that you let us have the privilege of watching you raise him. Thank you for his mom and dad. Thank you for the way you've worked with them. And thank you for the Spirit of God that works in him even now. Tonight, Father, we ask you to bless him with power from on high, that you give him the boldness and courage of a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll cause him to walk in the way of truth, that he will always, Father, be that one who is not taken away by any philosophy. He'll never be cheated out of his reward because of any of the world's philosophy at all. But being rooted and grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll walk in Jesus Christ. He'll have his mind renewed on a regular basis. And having his mind renewed, Father, he'll walk in a worthy way that's pleasing to you in every way. Give him a good, quick knowledge of you, Lord. And I'll thank you for that once again. Speak to him those words, Father, to fear not, for I am with you. And cause him to be a mighty man of faith. And this end we'll praise you, Father. We'll glorify you. We thank you for any and all things that will happen the rest of this evening, Father, for all those things that we'll have to share together. And we give you praise for that once again. Thank you now for gathering us together in this place, and thank you for one another. For this, we will cause you to give, we will give you praise in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and for his sake. Amen.